Hello, and welcome to Chili Bowl, the podcast about that song you know but know nothing about. I'm Emily.
I'm Jamie.
Each week, we will break down a topic from Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We will take turns being the expert as we dive into these people, topics, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you're already a history buff, this podcast isn't for you. If you're a sweet dum-dum just like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic is Bridge on the River Kwai.
Woof.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I want to start by saying I picked this topic, if you haven't noticed yet, by episode, like, 23 or whatever this is, we do not go in order of the song. We pick at random. I picked this one because, first of all, it's a movie. And I was like, oh, fun. My research will be, I will watch this movie.
Yeah.
And two, because we often reference Parks and Rec, like, almost every other episode. In that show, Ron Swanson likes the movie.
It's his fave.
It's, like, his favorite movie. And so I was like, oh, I love Parks and Rec, and I love Ron Swanson. Like, this is great.
What'd you think of it?
Things took a quick turn because I looked up how long the movie was, and it is 2 hours and 41 minutes, which is longer than it took me to give birth to my child, who is with us right now, so if you hear sounds, that's what that is. It's our producer baby, Dr. Pep. Sup, Dr. Pep? He's sleeping right now, but he might wake up. Anyway, so
it's a three-hour-long movie. It's like Titanic.
It's like Titanic, except for except for not at all plot-wise, but time-wise, yes. Have you ever seen the movie Giant?
Yeah.
So that's a James Dean movie, which we'll talk about in a future episode, because James Dean is that movie is, I don't know why I know this, it is 3 hours and 18 minutes long. Why do I know that exact time in my mind?
That's crazy. Gem. But so, it's also so long.
So long. Okay, so Bridge on the River Kwai is really effing long. If you're someone who hasn't seen this movie, but you really want to watch it, I guess stop this episode and go watch it, but if you're a listener who doesn't want to watch it, let me just save you 2 hours and 41 minutes of your life, okay?
Aww.
Can I just tell the plot of this movie?
Yes.
Is that fine?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's that good, guys.
It's so good. It's also so good because I've had a few glasses of Prosecco, and so now
Cheersies. It's
remembering time. Okay. All right. So the year is 1943.
43.
Okay, so in the middle of World War II, there is a Japanese prisoner work camp in what was at the time Burma, now known as Myanmar.
Yes.
Okay, which is over in Asia. Like Southeast Asia by Thailand and the like. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cool shaped country.
It is a cool shaped country and a beautiful
like a palm tree.
Area. Yes. So Japan is occupying this part of the world, and the movie starts with a British battalion, brigade, I don't know the exact military term, a whole bunch of British soldiers who have been basically like captured and have been sent to this work camp. They show up. Okay. And the British army has a leader, a commander named Nicholson or Nichols. I already forgot. I think it's Nicholson. Okay. And then obviously there's a Japanese, they call him Colonel, but obviously that's not like the correct Japanese term. Anyway, there's a Japanese commander of this work base.
Yes.
All right. So they show up and the British commander's like, hey, we're here. And the Japanese leader's like, you guys have to build this bridge over the River Kwai to connect these two cities. One of the cities' names is Rangoon, and the other city's name I forgot. So he's like, you gotta...
Crab.
I don't know if that was racist or not, but it feels racist.
Sorry.
But now I want Crab Rangoon.
Crab Rangoon's was where my heart was at.
When they said in the movie, they're like, Rangoon, I'm like, that's a city? I thought it was just the food. So they have to connect. They need to build a bridge to, over the River Kwai. And he's like, you got to build this bridge. Y'all are building this bridge for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the British guy's like, okay. However, high-ranking officers don't have to do manual labor because of the Geneva Convention. And he, like, literally pulls out this pamphlet that's the Geneva Code. And the Japanese commander takes it and he slaps him across the face with it.
Drama.
He's like, screw your Geneva Convention. Everyone here works. The British commander's like not having it. He's mm-hmm. like, you need to respect the code. And he's like, I don't have to do shit. And he puts him in the Japanese leader puts him in this, what's called like the oven. And it's this like metal cage thing. But like it's outdoors.
Oh.
And so it's like kind of like a shack.
Oh.
So he's put in this like basically solitary confinement and it's hot and his other soldier buddy brings him some food and some water sometimes to like help him get better. Meanwhile, the British soldiers are building the bridge, but they're doing this half-assed job about it because they're pissed that they have to be there and they're pissed that their commander's in this oven. Also, side note, there's some American soldiers who are there too. Oh, I'll get to them. Yeah. Okay, so eventually the British officer is let out of the oven because the Japanese leader makes it known that he has, like, this due date from his higher-ups that the bridge has to be built by, like, May 12th, or I don't know what day it starts, but he basically is like, the bridge we have has to be built by this date, otherwise I have to commit suicide.
Sounds fair.
So the shit's intense. Okay. So then the British guy who's been in this oven is like, sees that his soldiers are building the bridge, but they're doing a really half-assed job about it, and he's like, listen up, we're gonna build this fucking bridge, we're gonna build the hell out of it, and we're gonna do a good damn job, like, mm-hmm. no more of this half-assing shit, like, we are British soldiers, and we have pride, and we're gonna, like, build the hell out of this bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, like,
Turn it around.
And then apparently, for whatever reason, the Japanese soldiers and higher-ups couldn't figure out how to build the bridge, and there's an engineer in the British battalion who's like, okay, look, we need to be building it in a different spot, here's how we need to be building it, and so they like start over and they start building the bridge all good. Okay, meanwhile there's an American soldier who's also at the base,
mm-hmm.
who escapes, and he almost dies, but he escapes and he gets to this British base not far away. And he's hanging out there and he's on the beach and he's hanging out. He like shows up on the beach and he like immediately gets this like gal pal girlfriend.
Yeah.
Who she has lines and everything. Her name is Nurse.
Yeah.
She's literally referred to as Nurse. She's like this beautiful blonde actress. Yeah. I tried to look into her, of course, could find like nothing. So he has this girlfriend, he's hanging out on the beach. Yes, that's I'm going to talk about the Bechdel test later.
Yeah.
Because of this made me think of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's hanging out on the beach, he's got this like hot nurse girlfriend, he's at this British base, he's like, life is good, I was just at this work camp and now I'm hanging out with these British soldiers on the beach with my nurse girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So then the British leader of the base calls him in and is like, look, we need you to go back to the camp because we're gonna blow up this bridge. And he's like, no, I just escaped from there, I'm not gonna do that. Also, I have a secret to tell you, I'm not actually who I say I am. He had said he was this like higher up commander,
ranked officer.
Yeah, this high ranking officer. He's like, really what happened is when we were captured and like in the midst of like people were being shot and killed, I basically stole the identity. I'm a really low-ranking officer. I stole the identity of a high-ranking officer who was killed because I thought it would help my standings in this camp.
Yeah.
Because in theory, it would. And so he's like, you don't even want me. Like, I'm a mess. Like, I should go AWOL and everything. And the British guy's like, guess what? I actually knew that. Your government has turned you over to me. So you have to do this. Like, you're now basically working for the British Army. So he's pissed because he has to go back to this work camp that he is broken out of, and that he had been there for what seemed like quite a long time, yeah. like maybe even years. Okay. So then they have this plan that they're going to go back and they're going to blow up the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that. There's a handful of British soldiers and Shears is his name. The guy who had escaped, him and another American soldier, and they basically have to parachute in and then trek across the land, which is very treacherous.
Yeah.
And they have these, like, beautiful, wonderful, again, nameless guides who are these women, native women, who basically are their trail guides mm-hmm. back to the camp. So they get back to where the bridge is like completed, and they put the dynamite on the bridge, and then now it's the day that the bridge is going to be used, and like it's set to have this train go over the bridge that has all these like high-ranking Japanese people are going to be on the train, and so they want to blow it up while this is happening. Okay. However, the day of this event, the water level drops and it's exposed where the dynamite has been set up. So the British The British commander guy sees the dynamite and is like, oh shit, like someone's gonna blow up the bridge. My men and I worked so hard on this bridge, and it's like a representation of our pride. And he even like put this plaque on it, like, this bridge was built, da 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 da.
Right.
Okay. So the movie basically ends with this big mess of, like, the small group that came in to blow up the bridge is fighting against the British guy who was in charge of building the bridge, and, like, everybody's being shot at, and one by one, like, all of the men end up, like, dying because of whatever, like, they're shooting at each other and whatnot.
A mess.
It's a mess. The British commander, like, looks up after having been shot, and he says, what have I done? What have I done? And realizes, like, why am I fighting for this bridge and, like, this, like, the Japanese troops? This is my, like, this is my army. Like, I'm a British soldier. And in his, like, dying moments, as he's shot and bleeding, he falls and lands on the detonator and blows up the bridge as the train is going over. And basically, like, everybody dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody on the train, like, all the Japanese soldiers and high-ranking officials die. A bunch of the British soldiers die. The movie ends with everybody dying. And then there's the, like, last lines in the movie is this. One of the soldiers saying, like, what a catastrophe. He's like, no, it's terrible. And that's how the movie ends. And it's 3 hours, and I just told it in 13 minutes.
Boom. Mic drop.
Okay.
It's a good summary.
Thank you. I felt like it was long, and I tried really hard to get through it quickly. But that's basically the movie.
Yeah.
So why is this movie part of the song? In 1950, it was released late 1957, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
At the 1958 Oscars, it won 7 awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for the guy who played the British commander. And he did a really good job. He was good.
He was believable, I feel like.
Yeah. He was definitely committed to the role.
Yeah.
Best Writing for the screenplay. Best Cinematography, Editing, and Music. Interestingly enough, when it won Best Writing, the true writers were a gentleman named Carl Foreman and Michael Wilson. They were blacklisted at the time because it was believed that they had ties to communism.
Uh-huh.
And so the person who received the award was the gentleman who originally wrote the book. It's called, like, it's in French.
Oh.
It's like the Pont du Le River Quai or whatever. And so the guy who received the award is a Frenchman who didn't speak English. And so it was like, obviously he didn't write this movie. He doesn't even speak English.
Right.
And the guys who wrote the original or this screenplay were posthumously awarded Oscars in 1984. One of the gentlemen had died several years before, and another one died the day after it was announced that they were going to get the award.
So he heard.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Oh.
Yeah. Aww. So crazy. And then I think it should be noted that it was one of the awards it was nominated for an Oscar but didn't win was Best Supporting Actor for, I think his name is, it's spelled S-E-S-S-U-E. Seisu? Seisu Hayakawa. He was that Japanese commander.
Right. Okay.
And I thought it was interesting because I would imagine in 1958, a lot of minority people had not been probably nominated at that point.
Oh, no.
I tried to do some investigating into it, but...
I don't think many.
No. But so he was nominated. He did not win. So, it was very obviously really well received. It has, on Rotten Tomatoes, like a 95% rating. It's considered one of the best movies kind of like of all time. Like, it's just one of these...
Yeah. The plot of the movie, like, to us, I think the length of the movie gets us.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Right.
But, like, the plot and everything, like, for that time, I think was really...
Right. Well, especially when you consider these events, and it's based on real events that happened.
Yeah.
When you consider this happened in 1943 about, and this movie was made in 1957, like, this was all pretty recent events. So, and if you think about the way we consume media now, like, we have streaming services and we're binging stuff, it makes sense that, like, a three-hour movie is probably something that's enjoyable, where now we're like, a three-hour movie, like, how even can you watch?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, the character, the Colonel Saito, he was the in charge of the camp, was inspired by a gentleman named Major Risaburo Saito. And unlike the character in the movie, in reality was a very reasonable and humane officer. And he would often, like, negotiate with the prisoners in return for their labor. And he was a lot more kind as opposed to in the movie, the character's, like, really harsh.
Yeah, I wonder why they portray him differently.
Yeah.
Drama.
So, in reality, Saito and then Lieutenant Colonel Tusi, who's the real person who the British commander was based on, or it's Colonel, I'm sorry. Nicholson. Tusi spoke up on Saito's behalf at the War Crimes Tribunal after the war, saving him basically from being executed. And then 10 years after Tusi's 1975 death, Saito made a pilgrimage to England to visit his grave. So in real life, the British colonel and the Japanese colonel had a lot of respect for each other and actually, like, stood up for each other.
Huh.
So, a different relationship than was portrayed in the movie. Laurence Olivier was offered the part of Colonel Nicholson, but turned it down because he was going to be filming the movie The Prince and the Showgirl with Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And he had said that he'd rather rough it out with Marilyn Monroe than be in the jungle of... filming with this other British director that apparently was difficult to work with.
Fair enough.
Yeah. During filming, the director almost drowned
when he
was swept away in the river, and the actor Jeffrey Horn saved his life. He was one of the lead actors. So the director almost died.
Oh my God.
Right? There were elephants employed in helping build the bridge. They would take breaks every 4 hours and lie around in water, whether the crew wanted them to or not. And I just kind of like the idea that these elephants were like, we break now.
We need a break. Ugh, this is hard work.
We break. On the first take of the final bridge sequence, the explosives on the bridge did not detonate, and the train crossed all the way over the bridge safely, and then the train crashed
on
the other side.
It's just... Oh, that's so unfortunate. And, like, problems. If you just think about the amount of time and money, because it was all real.
Right.
Everything was real.
Right, it's real. Speaking of time and money, the bridge cost $250,000 to build, and that was in 1957. Construction on the bridge actually began before anybody had even been cast. After the final scene was shot, the producer shipped the film footage on 5 different planes to minimize the risk of loss.
Oh, man.
They were so worried about losing it that it was distributed that way, because they were worried it was going to get lost somehow. There's a drinking game that I tried
Did
to
you play.
Did
you play last night?
I tried and I couldn't even. So there's only 3 rules in the drinking game.
I like that.
So it's pretty easy, but then it's actually hard. It's harder than it sounds. I found it on Reddit. I didn't make the game up. But the first rule is, if the Japanese somehow can't seem to get the knack of engineering and the British help us, please. It's almost comical how in the movie the British soldiers seem so much more capable than the Japanese soldiers.
Why they can't figure it out.
And it's like, really? And again, that's tricky because it's kind of like an ongoing thing.
Uh-huh.
The second rule is someone is shirtless. And if you were to play by that rule, you would be dead.
Drunk.
Like 30 minutes into the movie, because in every single shot someone is shirtless.
Yeah.
Which this isn't part of the drinking game, but so many of the people at the camp, like these men were like really actually emaciated, and it's kind of hard to watch.
Yeah.
I also read that some of the prisoners in the movie are actually local native people, and so they were in like white face.
Oh god.
I know. Because they didn't have the number of people where they were. They filmed in Sri Lanka.
Oh, okay.
And so they, yeah, so there's that. The third rule is, you think in reality if Colonel Nicholson behaved that way, he probably would have had a stick of dynamite shoved up his butt. So I was like, I'm going to play this drinking game. And like 10 minutes in, I was like, there's no way you can play this drinking game because all these things are just like ongoing.
And would be asleep.
You'd be just asleep.
Drunk asleep.
I couldn't play. So in lieu of our, like, where those ladies at moment, because there are no ladies.
No.
Okay, well, actually, there are. There's the nurse. Okay. There's the female.
Nameless nurse.
And then there is, again, the nameless.
Lady guides.
Native female guides.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous. This did make me think of the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
Which, if you're not familiar with the Bechdel test, it's basically a movie either passes or fails if there are 2 female characters and they have a conversation about something other than a man or a male character in the movie. Sometimes one of the rules is that both female characters have to have a name. And as you would guess, obviously this movie does not pass the test.
Fail miserably.
It's... The kind of rule of thumb with this is, like, about 50% of movies pass. So, obviously, 50% of movies fail. Even still.
Oh, yeah.
And some criticisms of the test are that it really doesn't take into account, like, the quality of the movie. Like, it could be, you know, some, like, ridiculous, horrible joke movie, and it would pass. Because... And then there's other movies like this one, which are considered...
Well, yeah, because it's like, this girl says this to another girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like, the one girl can say something not great
to another girl
or something demeaning, and it still would be like, they had a conversation.
Yeah. And it's like, well, okay.
But this movie, hardcore, does not pass.
Oh, it really doesn't. Which also, it is a sign of the time.
Well, sign of the time, and, like, not to give it so much of a pass. Like, I feel like you could have given Nurse a name. Like,
yeah,
that is. But I mean, there really wasn't many female.
No, there weren't. I mean, there weren't women.
The movie itself is about, you know, war and the griminess of it, and you know, so you gotta. I understand
with this.
That,
yeah, with this movie in particular, but it did make me think of the test because I don't know how. If you're not familiar with the test, it was created by a woman by the name of Alison Bechdel, who is a cartoonist, and she created it with a friend of hers, basically, as a way of kind of evaluating women's roles in films. So if you're ever interested, you should check out the website or just Google Bechdel test and see if your favorite movie passes or not. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
So I want to bring it back to Ron Swanson, because part of me was like, I'm going to drink scotch and eat a porterhouse steak and watch this movie. I did none of those things.
Oh, shoot. I was going to be like, oh, my God, I wish I was also here.
I had half a glass of rosé and I ate a piece of birthday cake while watching it.
That's good, too.
Yeah, you know, there's that.
And I would have had more rosé myself, but
I tried to drink more. I fell asleep. I did. I'm going to be honest. There were several times when I was watching it where I had to turn to my husband and I was like, what's happening right now? And then I did take a break while the movie was playing where I did the dishes. Because I just had to walk away.
Yeah.
It's just so long. It does make sense that it's Ron Swanson's favorite movie, though.
Yes, it tracks.
Yeah, it definitely had. While I was watching, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I do not think that Bridge on the River Kwai started the fire.
No.
It did put me to sleep at one point, though. My husband at one point was... There's a time when, like, someone shoots a gun and then, like, a bunch of birds fly. And he's like, why is there this shot of the birds flying? It's been, like, 30 seconds of birds. And I'm like, you're not wrong. Like, there's just... It's like, I'm looking at birds. Why? When you're 2 hours into a movie and you're like, all right, let's just get to the fucking bridge.
This was the important part? Okay.
Yeah.
We needed these.
So it didn't start the fire, but it did blow up a bridge.
Okay. Well.
So there's that.
There was some fire involved.
Mm-hmm.
But not any of the starting kind.
No.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Well, I think you did a good job of summing it up. That way nobody needs to watch that movie.
You don't need to watch it.
No. I mean, if you like war...
If you're into war movies, if you're into older movies...
And if you like older movies, I still recommend watching it. But know that... Just... I think the right way is to have some scotch and a steak and...
I did also watch Paddington 2 yesterday. For different reasons. Mostly for my toddler. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I liked Paddington 2 better.
I'm not surprised.
Unpopular opinion. Paddington 2 is better than Bridge on the River Kwai.
You heard it here first, everyone.
Don't at me. All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Wir sind hier zum Feiern.